Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome in to another edition of the Pro Football Chase podcast. It's Isaac Sines with you, alongside my co-host, former NFL safety J.J. Wilcox. And we're turning the page from week one to week two. Quite a bit of interesting games, some really exciting games, some duds for some fan bases. All I know, J.J., for me, the Dallas Cowboys, how about them Cowboys with a dominating win on Sunday and beating the New York Giants 40-0. So, you know, I'm a happy camper on this Tuesday morning. But, JJ, how are you doing?
I'm doing well, man. I'm blessed and fortunate to be here today and as well to be on this podcast with you this morning, man. Like, I want to say happy birthday again to Isaac. Everybody wish Isaac a happy birthday, man. And like I say, that was a hell of a cap off by the Dallas Cowboys. So I know your Tuesday is full of excitement and joy, man. So happy birthday, and I'm excited, brother.
JJ, my brother, I appreciate the birthday wish, man. Thank you. It's been a blessed morning already. A lot of phone calls from my siblings, my parents, and just grateful for another day of life, another year of life. We're going to make it a good one, and excited to be on the podcast today to discuss some upcoming NFL matchups. Appreciate you taking the time as well. But really quick, JJ, my week one records tally. I did finish below 500. After the Jets beat the Bills in that crazy game, man, that was a wild finish. But you know what? Remembering from last season, it does take a couple of weeks for us to kind of refine our picks, get on the same page, because, you know, it's hard to really see who's good coming out of the preseason. So after about a month of the season, we'll know, hey, this team is strong at this, and we'll know who the contenders are, the pretenders are. But it was definitely a fascinating week one of NFL football.
Absolutely, man. How did I do? I think I did above 500 this week. I think I did pretty good.
I haven't checked yours. I know that we did have some odds on some picks. I know that we both picked the Chiefs. I picked the Falcons. You picked the Falcons. We both picked the Browns. We were right. We both picked the Jaguars. We both picked the Vikings loss. We both picked the Vikings. I picked the Saints. You picked the Titans. So the Saints won. Niners and Steelers, I think we both picked Pittsburgh. Did you pick Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I picked Pittsburgh.
So they lost. Cardinals, Commanders, I chose Washington, as did you. Texans, Ravens, we both chose Baltimore. They won. Packers, Bears, I chose Chicago. Who did you choose?
I want to say I chose Chicago as well.
So we both caught the L on that one. You chose the Raiders, right, over the Broncos, or did you choose Denver?
I want to say the Raiders. I didn't think I chose the Raiders on that
one. So I chose Denver. I took the L. You took the W there. You chose the Sheagles. I chose the Patriots, and the Eagles won that one. Dolphins, Chargers. You chose the Chargers. I chose the Dolphins, so I won that one. Rams, Seahawks, man, Seattle got slapped.
Man, yeah, that was my surprise loss there on top of the Chargers. But the Rams they just straight dominated the Seattle Seahawks.
So we both lost that one. We both chose Seattle, they lost. We both chose Dallas, they won in dominating fashion, and then you chose the Jets, I chose the Bills. So maybe we're pretty even, honestly.
Yeah, I think so. I think we're even out pretty good. So that's a good first week though. Good first night though.
Well, here we go, man. Week number two, we start in a couple of nights. It's Thursday Night Football, Vikings and Eagles, JJ, and Minnesota 0-1. One of those surprise losses. Both you and I think we're pretty confident in choosing the Vikings to beat Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers on opening week. They lost. Eagles, they got a win, but it was awfully sloppy, and they almost gave that game away to the New England Patriots late, but a win's a win, so they're 1-0. JJ, when you take a look at this Thursday night primetime game, this game was played last year in Philadelphia, where Philadelphia absolutely destroyed and dismantled Minnesota. So are you seeing the same type of outcome repeating itself on Thursday night?
That's a good one. I definitely don't think it's going to be a big blowout. I think Minnesota still had that bad taste in their mouth from last year. experiencing what they had to deal with in Philadelphia. But I still think Philadelphia still is coming out on top on this dub. Just defensively, man, they're one of the best in the units up front. It does a great job with Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, Jalen Carter, those guys. And like I said, on the outside, they match up pretty well with Minnesota as well, too. So I don't think it's going to be a blowout. I think it's going to be a great game, but I still think Philadelphia pulls it off, find a way to pull it off here, just with the outside matching up good with Minnesota outside, which is their strength, as I see.
Unfortunately, JJ, I'm going to agree with you here. I have the Eagles taking this one 27-20 over Minnesota. I do think it is going to be a little bit closer than last year's thrashing, but Minnesota right now, they looked a little bit out of sync on offense. They're trying to get that rushing attack figured out. No more Dalvin Cook, so it's Alexander Mattison, who's now their bell cow. Philadelphia got away with a win in New England. They didn't play very well, but being at home at Lincoln Financial Field, I think they'll feed off their fans. They'll get it done by a touchdown. And yeah, that front seven for Philadelphia is no joke. Brandon Graham, Fletcher Cox, we'll see what his status is. I know he's banged up. Josh Sweat, Jordan Davis. So they are very deep on that D-line. I think they'll get to Kirk Cousins. They'll try to limit Justin Jefferson. And with those reasons, give me Philadelphia as well. Now, on to Sunday's slate of games, we have the Green Bay Packers 1-0. Jordan Love played very well, made some timely throws, and knocked off the Chicago Bears in dominant fashion. They're going to take the road to take on those Atlanta Falcons, who both you and I chose to win in week one, and they did just that. Ground and pound is in Arthur Smith's DNA. The running back combination of Bijan Robinson and Alec Greer, and seeing how that offensive line has been playing dominant in the trenches, JG, I think there's a lot to be excited about with those Atlanta Falcons. And guess what? I'm rolling with the Dirty Birds for a second consecutive week. 23-20 over the Green Bay Packers. I think this will be a tightly contested game, one of the most entertaining games of the weekend. And don't sleep on that Packers defense either. Jaire Alexander, Kenny Clark is always going to be a game wrecker. But Atlanta, the way they're built, physical on offense and on defense, and then Jesse Bates hovering around in the secondary. I look for Atlanta to control the line of scrimmage, and they win this game by 3.
Yep, I agree with you everywhere. I'm going to go with the home team as well. Atlanta Falcons did a lot of great things last week. Like you said, this game is going to be one in the trenches. We all know what Jordan Love does. He does a lot of great things. He did a lot of great things against the Chicago Bears. Decision-making, looks off, efficiency, spreading the ball out evenly to all of his receivers, which makes it hard for a defense in a sense. But I think just up front, the front seven, as well as Jesse Bates, have an opportunity to roam and just keep molding and building with this defense. I think the Atlanta Falcons is on the way to do a lot of great things moving forward. And the efficiency of Desmond Ridder was very impressive for him to be the first, his first official start underneath the center and to be called the starting quarterback. I think he did a great job of handling the adversity early as well as being efficient. So give me the Atlanta Falcons to take care of business as well, too.
Raiders at Bills. JJ, I was on the fence with this matchup because it's very close. You know, the Raiders, hats off to them. Josh McDaniels, Jimmy Garoppolo, Jacoby Myers on a big game. They did enough to get the win up there in Mile High, and now they go to another tough ground in Buffalo, and this is a team that you have to imagine JJ is going to be very motivated to erase that atrocious loss that they took last night at the hands of the New York Jets. Josh Allen, a turnover machine, 3 interceptions, lost a fumble, and it doesn't look like he's learned from them, JJ. He continues to make the same mistakes, always big play hunting, and defenses are starting to bait him into it as well. And so the Las Vegas Raiders, this is a scary team. I mean, a lot of people don't necessarily have them listed on that contending tier, but with Mad Max Crosby on that D-line, him getting after opposing quarterbacks, they're a sneaky team. And Jimmy Garoppolo, of course, doing enough offensively, riding Josh Jacobs. With that being said, though, I have a hard time believing the Bills are going to drop to 0-2 to start the season. They'll be at home, Bills Mafia, getting ready to break some more tables, I'm sure. So I'll take the Buffalo Bills, Josh Allen, bounce back game. And they're going to have to establish that run game, JJ. They have not been able to get that going the last several years. James Cook is a very talented back. They maybe have to get Damian Harris more involved. But just this constant hero ball from Josh Allen will not cut it. I think they're able to get a little bit of that run game going, but a strong defensive performance from the Buffalo Bills. I'll take them 26-17 over the Raiders.
Yeah, I think Josh Allen, we know how confident he is in his arm strength and the things he's done. He's shown it year in and year out. And I think the best way to kind of help him out at this sense is get a good running game. You might have to go 12 personnel to do some different things, adding a tight end to help block and to create some split zones and do some different things to get James Cooks on the outside, inside of the tackles as well. Mix it up a little bit, some screen game as well, to kind of help Josh Allen right now get the confidence back. We know how what kind of good player he is and what he can contribute to when he's clicking. So I think that the Buffalo Bills take a look in the mirror, look at their identity, where they are, create some good run schemes. And like I said, for the Raiders, they does a good job too. Jimmy Garoppolo did 107 passive rating, 20 for 26 for 200 yards. And I just think, you know, I think the Buffalo Bills get it clicking this game, this week here coming up. And for that, I choose Buffalo Bills.
Ravens at Bengals, another AFC North Divisional clash. Bengals 0-1, looked very pedestrian. And I talked about it on the podcast last week. They typically do start very slow, and they did so again. The Browns hounded them on their home turf, and Joe Burrow threw for 82 yards, and it was just one of those games to forget. Now they're going to be at home against the Baltimore Ravens, who moved to 1-0 over the Houston Texans. It was a very sloppy game for the Baltimore Ravens as they're trying to get that Todd and Monken offense sorted out with Lamar Jackson. And this was another one where I had to really put some deep thought into who I think wins this game, and I'm going to go with the home team again, JJ. Give me Cincinnati, 24-23. This is going to be a nail biter between two very talented teams, and these two teams, I think, will go all the way to the very end of the season in terms of who's going to come out on top in that AFC North. But Cincinnati, I know a couple of those guys. I've interviewed DJ Reader, Trey Hendrickson. I know the way those guys are built. They are going to be up for this one after getting slapped around by the Cleveland Browns. You know that they're eagerly anticipating this Sunday to right those wrongs. I think that front seven is going to get after Lamar Jackson, at least try to limit his ability to run. And then on offense, I don't think Joe Burrow is going to have another 80-yard passing game. He gets it going to T. Higgins, to Jamar Chase. I like Cincinnati here by one.
Yeah, I think this is going to be a great defensive game. I think it's going to come down to who can get off the field on third down, who can complete third down conversions. We all know the mishap that Cincinnati had. Like you say, Joe Burrow is one of the best competitors in this NFL league. And I think he said it, you know, the first game don't really determine your outcome on the season. But I feel like the Baltimore defense is completely sound. I know the Cincinnati Bengals have some new pieces and some rookies and different things. Secondary looks a little different. And just for that, I think the Baltimore Ravens squeak one out. Give me the Baltimore Ravens here to pull it out.
Seahawks at Lions, JJ. You know, the Lions made a statement on opening night going to Arrowhead with that victory. Seattle, man, let me tell you what, that was another surprising outcome at home, getting embarrassed by their divisional rivals, the Los Angeles Rams, who a lot of people think are rebuilding this year. Matthew Stafford had other plans, Aaron Donald, and they went in there and got after Geno Smith. The defense looked very weak against the run. So I think all signs are pointing toward a 2-0 Lions start with the way that O-line is built and the time they've been given Jared Goff in the pocket. And then that two-headed monster in the backfield with Montgomery, Jahmyr Gibbs. I like the Lions here, JJ. Yeah. I think they win by 10, 34-24.
Yeah, you just felt the Detroit Lions this past prime time. They did a great job of making their presence felt. From the run game to the defensive leave, hitting the corner at the Chiefs, being aggressive and doing different things. Secondary is reshaped, and I think they got a sense of confidence as well, too. And like just for that exact reason, Jared Goff is playing phenomenal, doing some great things, picking up where he left off from. And like you said, the Detroit Lions just feels different. Their presence is felt. They're physical. They can match up outside, inside. with one of the best. The O-line is one of the best as well, too. And for that reason, it's like you said, I'm going to go with Detroit Lions as well.
Colts, Texans, both teams seeking their first win, a divisional matchup. Indianapolis, you know, Anthony Richardson, I don't know if you saw that, JJ, but he looked pretty solid on a couple of throws. He was able to get in the end zone running the football. And CJ Stroud, on the other end, had a little bit of a tougher debut, but we expected that on the road in Baltimore in a hostile environment. So two rookie quarterbacks going head-to-head in this one. It'll be a fun one for all those fans who like watching these rookie signal callers face off against each other. JJ, Houston will be at home. It's their home opener. Indianapolis, they played Jacksonville tight until the Jaguars ran away with that 10-point victory. So who do you like here, the Colts or the Texans?
I just think overall I have to roll with the Indianapolis Colts here. I think Richardson did a good job of his debut of coming out and being more efficient. He did some great things. Of passing the ball, running the ball, doing a mixture, 24 for 37 for 223 yards. I just feel like he has a better sense and feel for the offense moving forward. Don't get me wrong, the Houston Texans are always a great team defensively, and they do a good job of running the ball with Pierce. But I just feel like Anthony Richardson is just a little bit step maybe forward when it comes to helping his team get over the hump for the next game. So give me the Indianapolis Colts to go down and to take care of business and get the dub.
I will counter you on this one, JJ. I'm going to go with the Houston Texans here. I think they get it done for DeMeco Ryans. It's going to be tough and challenging because they're already without Jimmy Ward in week one. I'm not sure about his status for week two, but Jalen Petrie, the standout safety, he got hurt. I think he punctured his lung or kidney against the Ravens, so he's probably not going to go this Sunday, and that's a big loss to the Houston secondary. But here's why I think they'll get the job done. I like Damian Pierce, and I know you're a big fan of him. I think they're really going to have to lean on him heavily, get the run game going, take some pressure off C.J. Stroud's shoulders, make sure that he's not having to throw the ball 35 times to win a game in the NFL, especially this early in his development. I see a big 100-yard performance from Damian Pierce. Robert Woods is a big veteran presence there. Nico Collins will get going, and then Dalton Schultz as that security blanket. I think they squeak out a win in Houston 21-17 over the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Chiefs and Jaguars, JJ, this is another intriguing matchup. Kansas City, they're looking to avoid an 0-2 start. Going to Jacksonville, Duval County, Jaguars got a win. They didn't play their best ball, but they found a way to get it done when it mattered in Indianapolis. Now, Chris Jones will be back on the field for Kansas City. They agreed to a new one-year deal yesterday, so that holdout is done. Travis Kelce, it looks like there's a lot of optimism that he'll be back for this game. So Jacksonville, Kansas City, these two teams meet again. They met in the playoffs last year. Kansas City getting the better end of that one. JJ, are you feeling Duval County in this one, or do you think Kansas City gets their first win of the season?
Man, if I had any tough decisions for this week, it was between these two here. It's not as a toss-up as it used to be between Jacksonville and Kansas City. I love everything that Jacksonville Jaguars did. Trevor Lawrence performance to Travis Etienne, Calvin Ridley's coming back. I'm glad to see him in full form as well, too. But Patrick Mahomes, man, it's hard to go for him to go 0-2, for me to see him go 0-2. And I just feel like they have a lot more to kind of go into. Jacksonville did a good job, but like I said, they had a rookie quarterback last week that was still trying to figure it out too. So it's not a toss-up like I usually would want to do, but I'm going to go Kansas City. It's just hard for me to go 0-2 against Patrick Mahomes. So give me Patrick Mahomes here to take care of business, but it's a close one.
Man, I was right there with you. But my gut is telling me that the Jaguars finally get the better end of the Kansas City Chiefs, and they're catching them at the right time, JJ. The Chiefs oftentimes have started a little bit slow, stumbled out of the gates. Defensively, they're trying to figure some things out. It is going to give them a boost having All-Pro Chris Jones back on the field. But Doug Peterson, you know he gets up for these types of matchups, especially going up against Andy Reid. They're at home. Fans are going to be fired up. Trevor Lawrence to Calvin Ridley, that connection's already off to a hot start. And then Travis Etienne on the ground, not only as a runner, but in the pass game. I like Jacksonville in a shootout to beat the Kansas City Chiefs 30 27 in a barn burner there in Jacksonville, and I'm looking forward to seeing how that one unfolds. Now, we got these four matchups, and we'll go a little bit quicker here. Bears-Buccaneers, Chicago 0-1. JJ, all that excitement in the Windy City about Justin Fields and DJ Moore, and they went out and signed Edmonds, the linebacker, and TJ Edwards, and then they just fell flat on their face against the Green Bay Packers. Meanwhile, Tampa, on the other end of the spectrum, their fans are fired up after they went into Minnesota and got an unexpected victory. JJ, despite that and those two trends, I like Chicago here to right the wrong. Matt Eberflus has to do some self-reflecting after that game against Green Bay. Chicago is still ultimately competitive. They still have an immense amount of talent. They're going to have to continue to rely on that offensive line, though, which is still shaky. And that Tampa front is going to get after you with Shaq Barrett and Vita Vea. So they're going to have to be careful. But Justin Fields will use his ability to run in this game. Another close one, 26-23. I'll go with the Bears.
Nice. You're going to bear down. Okay. Well, like you said, Tampa Bay did a good job. They went into it in a hostile environment and took care of business against a very good team up in Minnesota Vikings. Yeah, Justin Jefferson went for 9 for 150 yards, but they still came out with the dub. And Chicago Bears, man, their offensive identity, I just don't see it or feel it. I love what they have and what they have on paper, but we have to put it on the field too. And unless they can get the ball running, and like I said, you're going against one of the best top runner defenses, a defensive mind guys and Todd Bowles. I just don't see them clicking and getting that together in Tampa Bay. So give me the Tampa Bay Buccaneers here to take care of business against the Chicago Bears.
Chargers at Titans. This is another 1 p.m. Eastern time start. The Chargers, despite being in a track meet with the Miami Dolphins, they lost that nail biter. And the Titans, they were also in it with the Saints. They lost a low-scoring game there. In this one, JJ, I like the Chargers. Their offensive firepower is going to be too much for Tennessee's offense unless they're able to really control time of possession and force Justin Herbert into some turnovers. I think this game can get ugly very soon for a Tennessee offense, and Ryan Tannehill not putting on a good performance. Justin Herbert. Austin Eckler, though, is banged up with an ankle injury. We'll see what his availability is. But nonetheless, when you have the receivers that he has at his disposal with Keenan Allen, Mike Williams, and Quentin Johnson, the rookie wide receiver out of TCU, too much for Tennessee. I think they overwhelmed them. 34-21, give me the Chargers.
Yeah, give me the Chargers here. For me, I just want to see Tennessee Titans. If they can come out and control the line of scrimmage and do some good things with Henry as well as stretching the field. But I just don't know who they have to really stretch the field, to really put stress on the defense, kind of like Miami Dolphins did against the Chargers. They did a good job of stretching the field and making those guys not hem in on one person. So for that reason, give me the Chargers here to take care of business.
All right, Giants at Cardinals. Both teams 0-1. The Giants getting dismantled 40-0 on Sunday night. Arizona, though, was right there against Washington on the road. And so you have to have a little bit of optimism if you're the Cardinals and Jonathan Gannon. They're at home, okay? But despite the Giants getting absolutely crushed and throttled, they're taking the road again. I believe they're going to have a response on Sunday. This is a squad that made the playoffs last season. And for crying out loud, JJ, they had the NFL Head Coach of the Year in Brian Daboll. So, you know what I mean? They're going to have to get their stuff together despite that performance. Their offensive line clearly has a lot of issues to get sorted out. Evan Neal struggled immensely. But also, Arizona doesn't have the type of front Dallas has. So, things are going to get a little bit easier for them. So, give me the Giants here. They're going to have to go with Saquon Barkley on the ground. Daniel Jones, I'm sorry, $40 million a year. He's still not a quarterback that can win you the game with his arm, so you're going to have a run game going with him. Luckily for them, they were able to get Saquon out of his holdout. Look for Darren Waller to be a little bit more involved in the pass game. 23-20, Joshua Dobbs, I like his story. He's a competitor, but I just think the Giants will have that edge on Sunday.
Yeah, I think the Giants had to take a real look in the mirror to go on prime time and fumble the way they did. My hat's off to the Dallas Cowboys of the job they've done. But I think they're a playoff team. They're a playoff-capable team. And they, like I say, let's not forget what their identity is. They're going to look at, like I say, you know, the first game and always a tough one. But give me the Giants here to take care of business against the Cardinals.
49ers at Rams. Here, I like the 49ers all day. Despite the Rams' impressive opening week showing in Seattle, this is a different beast, JJ. This ain't the Seahawks. This is the San Francisco 49ers, a team that will go to your field and beat you up. They roughed up the Steelers, which was a little bit of a surprise to me. I thought the Steelers actually were going to pull off that upset, but man, that defense is still cooking with grease, especially with Steve Wilks, their defensive coordinator. I know they lost DeMeco Ryans, but they did not miss a beat. Hufanga, Warner, and then having Nick Bosa back in the fold, they're going to get after Matthew Stafford, 28-16. And let's also remember, the Niners have owned the Rams in this series the last several years. I look for that to continue. And Brock Purdy, JJ, looked pretty darn good on Sunday, and he may be the real deal.
Yeah, man, those San Francisco 49ers did something that did a lot of people didn't maybe expect. I know I had Pittsburgh Steelers to go in and take care of business, but man, they did a lot of great things. They ran the ball good, they spread the ball out evenly, and they playmakers made plays. And in the NFL, if your guys and everything aligned like the way it did for the San Francisco 49ers, the wheel is in your hands. So give me the 49ers here to take care of business against the Rams as well.
Jets at Cowboys. Breaking news this morning, Aaron Rodgers, MRI confirmed that he did indeed tear that left Achilles, and that's brutal news after all that offseason hype, the excitement there in New York. It's going to be Zach Wilson time again. The top pick that they took a couple of years ago, he finished out last night's game. And JJ, this matchup really excites me just because we're about to have two of the NFL's best defenses on the same field.
Absolutely.
On Sunday, the Cowboys defense showed out, and that Jets defense showed that they are just as serious with Robert Saleh as that head coach. This one, I expected to be a pretty low-scoring game because of the defensive dominance from both teams here. Zach Wilson does not present the same type of threat and concern as Aaron Rodgers would have, but the Cowboys offense, they still didn't look too good on Sunday night. I know they're implementing the new West Coast offense. McCarthy is now calling plays. There's that transition. They didn't play snaps in the preseason, so I understand there's going to be that growing pain period. But JJ, if they are not looking any more sharp than they did against the Giants, against this Jets team on Sunday, it's going to be hard to move the ball against that front with Quinnen Williams and Quincy Williams. So give me the Cowboys here. I think the Cowboys have enough offensive firepower. That defense for Dallas is going to get enough of Zach Wilson, especially getting after that banged up offensive line that still is not put together well. And so Micah Parsons, they're going to create some turnovers. Give me the Cowboys, game-winning field goal, Brandon Aubrey, 2017. I like the Cowboys to win, but barely squeaking out that victory for their home opener.
Yeah, man. The Jets, despite of, I think they're still in shock mode. I think the whole sports world is in shock mode. They hear the news of Aaron Rodgers and, you know, what their season, what the expectations for that season for them. So they're going into a high-style environment, a team that's coming off a hell of a win and doing some great things, leading off where they're starting off where they are left off from two. And like you say, this is going to be a defensive game. I think it's going to come down to special teams making some plays. Defense is going to think it's going to come down to outside of Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed on the outside, matching up against some of those weapons that the Cowboys have. And I think the Cowboys have a little bit more weapons to kind of arsenal against that Jets defense in the back four. So for that reason, I'm going to go Dallas Cowboys as well to take care of business home and keep rolling.
Commanders at Broncos, JJ. This is another 4:25 p.m. Eastern time window game. I like the Denver Broncos here, and I chose them to win week one against the Raiders. They lost the heartbreaker. This defense, I mean, they too are, I think, one of the top five defenses in the NFL. Sam Howell and that offense under Eric Bieniemy, they're also learning that new system. They didn't look all that great going up against the depleted Arizona roster that doesn't have as much talent as this Denver defense. But when you're going to Mile High, it's a little bit of a different pill to swallow, JJ. I think Russell Wilson, who did look crisp and sharp in that opening debut, they are dealing with some injuries. Jerry Jeudy should be back in the fold for them. Javonte Williams is fully healthy now. They'll go to the ground game, and even though that Commanders front seven is tough, they'll be able to exploit them in the pass game, and then Denver's defense, led by Justin Simmons, will create some turnovers on Sam Howell. 23-17, Sean Payton gets his first head coaching win for the Broncos.
Yeah, the Broncos here, man. Like I said, it was a toast. It was a tight, close game here, and it is a lot of great things defensively to keep, like I said, a nice high power offense from the Raiders to a minimum. And for the same thing, you know, the Commanders, they do have a new quarterback on the center, Sam Howell. He does some great things. He does have a great offensive coordinator guru in his corner as well too. And I think, you know, with the matchup, if you look back at it. Kansas City, he's coming from Kansas City where he's seen the Denver Broncos defensive schemes over and over and over twice a year in a sense. So for that, I think he has something drawn up to do some tricky things and do some things. And I know how to attack that defense to get in. And if Sam Howell could be half of what Mahomes is, I think they'll do enough just for Eric and his geniusness. So give me the Commanders here. Take care of business. Based off of the offensive coordinator and his familiarity with that Denver Broncos defense.
Wow, JJ, going with the Commanders, man. I don't know how I feel about that, going with the NFC East team, man. You know what I mean?
Right. Saying, yeah, it's tough, man. Anytime it comes to the Eagles and the Commanders, it's tough for me to swallow. But I just like my chances here with the Commanders to take care of business against the Broncos team that's still trying to figure it out and still trying to groom offensively. But defensively, we know what they're bringing. So I'm with you on that, man. But give me the Commanders here, unfortunately, to take care of business.
I got you, man. No worries. Now, three more matchups, JJ, before we get out of here in Week 2's podcast. Sunday Night Football, Dolphins 1-0 at the New England Patriots 0-1. Dolphins, man, they just once again showed that high-powered offense. Mike McDaniel, 36 points in week one. Tua, 466 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. And then Tyreek Hill, 11 receptions, 215 yards, 2 touchdowns. Uncoverable, unguardable. Miami's offense is the real deal. I think everybody knows that by now. They are going to New England. That Bill Belichick style of defense, they made it very hard on Jalen Hurts and that Eagles offense here in week one. And so I don't think it's going to be a walk in the park like some people would expect it to be. With that being said, Tua, the connection he has with Tyreek Hill, and defensively, they're going to have to tighten some bolts there because they did give up some rushing yards and some chunk plays to the Los Angeles Chargers. But all in all, Mike McDaniel has this team headed in the right direction. You're seeing a new sense of confidence from this offense. Tua is continuing to improve. And this offense will only get better when they get Terron Armstead back as well, solidifying that offensive line. Devon Achane, maybe he's active this week. But I like the Miami Dolphins here in this one, JJ, to go on the road, get the win, 26-20. I haven't seen enough from Mac Jones in that offense yet. I know they're still going through those early growing pains with Bill O'Brien calling the plays and getting Ramondre Stevenson involved and Juju Smith-Schuster. But Miami, they find a way to get it done, 26-20.
Yeah, I this was one of my upsets of the week. I had the Patriots, in a sense, to take care of business because I don't think the Miami Dolphins present the same problem as Philadelphia Eagle does with the RPO and the feed and moving of Jalen Hurts. But even though Tua can move and do some different things, I think he's more slow too, just for some hiccups and some things and injuries that may have happened last year as well. And, you know, just defensively, the Patriots did a great job of honing a high-power offense in Philadelphia. So, and you never know one person to just take over and dominate a game against the Patriots defensive end, the way they scheme up their corners and safeties to play over the top of different things. But I feel like you say, for the just the offensive sake, if that offense can click, who knows when it may click for the Patriots. I think that's the only hiccup it has in that offensive line. And I think the Dolphins have enough up front to get after the Patriots. So give me the Dolphins here to take care of business as well.
Closing out the week, two games on Monday night. So how about that? First one is at 7:15 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN, the Saints at the Panthers. Second one, 8:15 p.m. Eastern time on ABC, Browns at Steelers. That'll be another physical smash mouth AFC North special. Early game, JJ, Saints at Panthers. New Orleans looking to build off that 1-0 start. Carolina 0-1 in Bryce Young's debut. Now, JJ, in this one, you know these two teams play each other very, very closely every single matchup. I like New Orleans here, 24-16.
Yeah.
They take the road. They get to Carolina. The defense, Tyrann Mathieu, DeMario Davis, Cam Jordan. There's a lot of veteran talent on that defense. Marshawn Lattimore is going to make things very difficult for Bryce Young. So with that said, I expect them to force Bryce Young into some turnovers. They'll look at the ground game with Jamal Williams once again. Kendre Miller, their rookie running back, may be active this week. But Chris Olave, Michael Thomas on the offensive side for the Saints, and Derek Carr getting the ball to them in timely crunch time moments. Give me the Saints here, but very close, 24-16.
Yeah, if you haven't had a chance to, DeMario Davis had a speech after the game of that win they had last week, and that has really sparked a sense of gratitude to me, and also just the way that his mindset is. And I think that trickles into the faith of how the defense league has played. Give me, for the same reasons, man, the Saints. I think the Panthers are on the verge of getting a victory, but just not this week. So give me the Saints to take care of business.
Second primetime game, Browns at Steelers, and I can't wait to see this one. Steelers, very much in the same boat as the New York Giants, the Seattle Seahawks. You get punched straight in the mouth in front of your home fans. They got annihilated by the San Francisco 49ers. Well, they're going to be right back there again at Heinz Field in primetime, hosting the Cleveland Browns, who are coming off a very big-time win where that defense was all over Cincinnati and Joe Burrow. So the Steelers better be careful, JJ, because if they don't come out on their P's and Q's, they're going to start this season 0-2 and might even get blown out again by a very physical Cleveland Browns team. And so, while you think I'm leaning towards the Browns, I'm actually going to go with the Steelers again. Now, I'm either going to look like a genius or I'm going to look like a fool with going with Mike Tomlin's side, JJ. But, you know, Mike Tomlin, he's one of the best in the business. He knows how to get the best out of his team. It's unfortunate that Pittsburgh is losing Cam Hayward for some weeks, and Deontay Johnson will be out for a couple of weeks, their other receiver. Yeah. So that's going to play a factor. But being at home, TJ Watt, I don't think he's going to let this team go 0-2 to start the season. He'll have a very active night against Deshaun Watson, 27-23. This is a game where Najee Harris, Jaylen Warren, Pickens is going to have himself a day against Denzel Ward. I'm a little bit uneasy about this one, JJ, but I'm going to go with the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah, you stated some very great facts there, man. Pittsburgh Steelers, like I say, they know Cleveland Brown up and down is one of the greatest rivals in football. But the Brown, man, they came out and made a statement against a very good team as well, a playoff team, and the Cincinnati Bengals. Nick Chubb does what he does. He runs the ball effectively. Deshaun Watson put pressures on defense, running and passing as well. They do have some players on the outside that can make some plays, and Amari Cooper, Elijah Moore, and David Njoku. And like I say, Peoples Jones as well, too. And defensively, they match up good. And Denzel Ward on the outside with some of those guys that the Pittsburgh still has, too. So I'm going to go dog pound here. As much as I'm a Mike Tomlin, I love Mike Tomlin. I've been in that system. I know what they can do. I just think with Cam Hayward being gone missing in that middle and knowing what Cleveland Brown does and running and attacking your front, they're going to run at T.J. Watt. They're going to run here. And we all know T.J. Watt is one of the best pass rushers in the game. But I'm going to go dog pound here. to pull off a surprising victory here in the Steelers. I think the Steelers need one more week to get it together. I think they were shocked at the performance they did as well, too. So give me Dog Pound to take care of business on the road.
Well, that does it for Week 2's podcast, game picks, previews, analysis. It's always a pleasure, JJ, having you on the podcast, man. And look forward to another good week of NFL football. We are officially underway. I'm very excited about it. And let's see how these matchups shake up on Thursday, on Sunday, and then, of course, our doubleheader on Monday. How about them Cowboys hoping they get that dub?
Hey, how about them Cowboys? And, man, I'm excited Week 2, man. We had a good chance of Week 1 to see some great football, and I'm excited to tune in Thursday night and to see how my teams can do and excited to see week 2 brings.
Take care. God bless. Thanks again for your time, and we'll be back on here next week to break down Week 2 and preview Week number 3.
No problem, man. Blessings, and happy birthday again.
All right, man. Appreciate it. Take care.